Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. The ashtray.
Stretch my hands to you. Life like this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8:01 on ESPN 97.5. So it would be pretty easy if the Titans can't play, if the Titans and Steelers can't play, and the league wants it to be rather fair. If the Titans can't practice all week, but Mike Vrabel says, listen, if we can't practice all week, we're still playing. We're going to have a walkthrough on Saturday, and we'll play on Sunday. That's all. No excuses. I like that. That's a coach that's accountable, says, I don't give a rat's ass. We're playing.
You can still do the mental stuff. Yeah. And you can still take mental reps and things like that. There is some stuff. It is going to be a little bit tougher on your install, because your install, you have to physically go through stuff, and you always have different. You know, you're going to do some different things defensively, or maybe now you can't.
Actually. Well, virtually, the quarterback, you know, and the running back, and he fakes the handoff, and this is what we're doing, everybody, guys. Everybody can walk through doing it on their computer, or whatever the case may be, however they do it. However, the Steelers are scheduled to play the Ravens in Week 7, and they have a bye in Week 8, and the Titans have a bye in Week 8. The league could move the Steelers-Titans matchup to Week 7 and the Steelers-Ravens matchup to Week 8. So that could fix it. And this would be both teams' buys.
Yeah. What about Minnesota?
A little bit more convoluted. It would have to involve the Packers and the Jaguars getting in. Because you could have the Vikings and Texans have this week as the bye. You'd have the Packers and Vikings play Week 7. You'd have the Texans and Jaguars play Week 7. That was originally the Texans and Packers. And then the Texans and Vikings would play Week 8. So everybody would move, those four teams would move their byes to this week, and then the Packers Week 8 and the Jaguars. It's convoluted, but it could happen. They could work it out, but you'd have to get two more teams involved. Now, what's the difference, though, right? For those other teams, what's the difference? It's not like, well, we planned our bye week and all these fans are coming. No, none of that. You know what? Now, TV would be involved. I don't think they would do that. And we'll find out, because the Vikings had no positives. Everybody was negative. But they took another test now, because there's a little incubation period anyway, right? So they took their tests, and they're going to take more tests this week. And if the Vikings come through, fine, then they'll play on Sunday. And even if they have to move it to Monday, they move it to Monday.
Whatever it takes. I want the Texans to play the Vikings now, if possible. I think the Vikings are a team that they don't stop the run. The Vikings are a team that, to me, has serious problems with their secondary. And defensively, they just have issues defensively. I'd rather see them take on the Vikings right now. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with the second test. You know, the scary thing is the incubation period can last a little longer for some. So you could still be playing a guy with COVID, or a couple guys with COVID, who didn't show up on the first two tests. But they test every day, so they could catch them. Even if you decide, okay, we're going to play, we have another group of negative tests today on Wednesday morning, or maybe even Thursday morning. They're still going to test again on Friday. They're still going to test again on Saturday. You may catch guys that have to be pulled from the Vikings. That's why the game was taken off the board yesterday, and I don't think it's going to go back on.
Practicing all week together, and you know, not wearing masks on the practice field and hanging out and whatnot. And
well, they'll be put in the same position as the Titans potentially.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Titans, you know, who knows? By then, if guys continue to to test negatively, then they could be fine. We'll see. But the game is somewhat in jeopardy. This could be the Texans' bye week. We'll see. And it doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, the guys get the week off. I'm sure you would like to plan something, and it's not like you can do anything anyway, though. Well, that bye week, we're going to get 4 days off. I'm going down to Jamaica or whatever. Can't do anything. Nobody can do anything. So might as well just take it whenever. It's 2020 blows. You just can't do anything. 2020 just blows. Except Astros in the playoffs.
Yeah, except the Astros. Savages getting in the box and just raking runs.
Would you stop right.
They scored four runs.
And it's another slogan from another team.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. H-Town Savages.
I see your shirt.
It's the shirt that I'm wearing.
You appropriated a Yankees thing. You feel good about that?
I didn't appropriate anything.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. That's
no, because they're not the Savages in the box. They were eliminated, and they couldn't even hit the Astros.
I don't know. They scored 12
yesterday. Remember how pathetic? Last year, did they?
Yeah, but who cares? Look,
that's when they said it, and they lied. It was.
But
I'm going truth
yours.
In advertising.
It's not yours.
Who had four runs yesterday? It's Astros.
Who had 12?
Doesn't matter. It's against a not as good a team, not as good a pitcher.
Okay. Against the best pitcher in baseball versus
team, in theory.
Versus the team who hadn't won a playoff game and now 17
All
games.
John told me is that the Twins' pitching was too good, and the Astros went to work on them.
Yeah, clearly. Took a throwing error to get them to two runs.
Well, huh?
I would say I don't mind you loving
stand
your
stand by
loving your team stand back. I don't mind you loving your team per se, but stop stealing someone else's thing. You'd be upset if the Yankees took something from the Astros. Like, what if the Yankees adopted for the H because it meant for the hit?
This isn't the first thing we've taken. We also took looking at video monitors.
It's for the NY.
What if we did?
No,
we're taking
hits.
Video.
The H for them is hit, so it's okay.
Oh, okay.
I love Houston instead of I love NY. And you know what? We also took Carlos Beltran appropriated looking at video monitors to cheat, and he brought it over to Houston.
So not only are they
cheaters. I never heard anyone complaining about, what about the Yankees' ability to cheat first? They stole that. They appropriated the video monitor watching that Beltran brought.
Huh.
No one even talks about that. Matter of fact, everyone wants to distance themselves from that.
And what's your point again?
They weren't savages in the box last year against the Astros.
I understand that, but why do you want their slogan or their thing?
That was, okay, Dell, in professional wrestling, they used to have lose or leave town matches.
That's true.
And they used to have things like that. And last year, they played for the Savages belt.
No, they didn't.
Yes.
They played for a trip
to the
World
Series. And the Astros won the Savages belt. As you can see with my shirt, H-Town Savages.
Look.
That meant the Astros won, and that's why Running Game Clothing got to have H-Town Savages.
Running Game Clothing, and you can rationalize all you want. But let's be clear. You took that from the Yankees.
Stole it.
Yeah. You could sell the shirt.
Yeah, because they didn't
money.
Steal it. They were saying, we're the real Savages.
Weren't they in some kind of fight or something, and Aaron Boone called them Savages?
No, he was arguing with the umpire for some calls. They were Savages in the box.
Pull it up. Go pull it up. You can get it. It's like it's the most ominous. And the Yankees fans thought it was the coolest thing of all time until they couldn't hit the Astros. Until they kept coming up super lame in the playoffs. And I kept thinking, and I remember.
When they score.
They could barely score
they
anything.
Score two runs here.
Yeah. I remember the Astros. I kept thinking, oh my God, we can't hit at all. And like, how are the Astros even still in this? It's because the Yankees came up so lame.
Here.
Every time there was men on base, the Yankees were just so lame.
Yep.
They were like dogs that had to be put down.
Hmm. And Cody Bellinger. How was Cody Bellinger in the World Series? How was he? How
swing and miss. Yeah, and, Cody Bellinger, chit chat.
And he's the one chirping the loudest. Any division, I'm never going to be threatened. Digging the box and I'm popping off on the heater. Smoking pitches like I'm offering fajitas. Boom, that's an item on a pier. You should fear us. Gotta be the leader when the lineup is the deepest. I'm God and my mama. I'm a savage in a box. Yeah, I know my strength. So keep the squares on lock from the prop. You don't want to catch these hands because these hands hit harder than an Aaron Boone ran. No cap. Hell up on my way when I be swinging it. See? Now off the bat, you're going to be hearing it. They had to go make a rap song about it called Savages in a Box. And then they hit like 130 with men in scoring position against the Astros.
And this is what you want to take from them? You want to make a rap video too?
No, play Aaron Boone going off on the umpire, saying we're savages.
Yeah, we know what
we're
he said.
Savages in the box.
So you want to you want to emphasize that you're taking this from the Yankees and stealing.
Yeah, no, we just take your stuff, make a T-shirt out of it, and on to the next one. What do the Twins have? The Twins have something like Twin Up? Do they have something like Do It With Twins? Or right. is there something no, like that?
And,
like
Earl, and Earl Thomas.
Twin is... Fantasy, and there, yeah, and there's Earl. Well, it's not Twins, but
well,
but that always felt like a weird one, talking about Twins. Like,
do you think Earl Thomas stole this from the stole Bash Bros from the A's?
I don't know.
We're the Bash Brothers. No,
did his
Thomas
wife
brothers.
Steal the Goodfellas scene? Wherever
does he have any Eskimo blood?
Did his wife? Say,
I don't know.
Did his wife steal the scene with Karen sitting on top of Henry? And he's like, "Put the gun down." Is that what his wife stole? That with Karen just right with the gun right over his face? Well, that's what I want to know.
Hmm. I don't know.
Did you see Schitt's Creek Motel is up for sale? Do you want to buy it?
In real life?
In real life.
Uh-uh. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
It looks bad. Although I have noticed that from season one to season two, more space is in the motel, and it's actually a little bit nicer on the interior.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've noticed that the motel's gotten better, a little bit better.
Well.
On the interior. I'm only on season two.
Yeah. Putting it on.
How much is it going for?
The Canadian Company, a Rosebud Motel, fictional Rosebud Motel. And they don't say how much, but it's going to be
Where
up for sale
it?
Soon. It's in, I think it's in Canada.
Probably because Eugene Levy and is
well, they're Canadian.
Canadian.
Yeah.
They came from all that.
Where's
SCTV?
Orangeville?
I don't know. It's, is that Canada?
So the Orangeville banner. Where's the Orangeville banner?
Yeah, that's Canada. How would I know? I mean, I may know after November, but I don't know now.
Oh, you're planning on a potential move?
Well, if this whole country just goes into, if it's all on fire and there's guns in the streets nonstop and
Orangeville
clashes.
In the U.S.
There's an Orangeville town in Ontario, Canada.
There's probably an Orangeville everywhere.
Yeah. Orangeville in Illinois, Orangeville in California. Orangeville is a very popular name.
Why? That's a stupid
Have you seen
name.
How many Houstons there are?
Yeah, well, that's a great name. In Hockley Valley. Well, that's the... anyway, you want to buy the Schitt's Creek Motel?
No.
I mean, that would be totally sweet to own that, wouldn't it?
I don't really know what I would do with it.
Really?
Unless it's an Airbnb. And isn't the whole concept of a motel being a motel? I would turn it into an Airbnb, not a motel. You want to dress it up and make it really nice on the inside and ugly on
no,
the outside.
No, you want people to stay is in Southeast Saskatchewan.
Okay.
That's which is Canada. Hello. No, you want people to stay and be able to stay in the same place where the shit stayed. Oh no, they're not the they're the.
I feel weird
yeah,
with you
awkward.
Saying that out
because
loud.
He,
this
because
many
that's
times.
Not their actual name, is it?
That's no. That's Chris Elliott's name.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the family.
Yeah.
The Roses were who you're talking.
The
about.
The Roses. Yeah. Where the Roses was, stayed.
See, here's the thing. I think it's probably a set. So I don't think you're actually staying where they stayed. I think they probably filmed on a set. That's the exterior of the motel that they used.
No, I think there really is a
No, I think there's a motel.
Yeah.
I think where they stayed, though, if you went into the room, you'd be like, hey, this is a lot smaller than on
this
TV.
This is Hollywood.
Yeah, like, yeah, that was actually a set.
Yeah.
They had two different sets that were different rooms, and they actually had, it was about the equivalent of about 600 square feet each.
Right.
So.
All right, 814 ESPN 97.5. We got Gulf Coast Windows. Gulf Coast Windows. No, I used to have Gulf Coast Windows. Now you got Craig DeSurf.
Yeah, Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Gulf Coast, obviously. I mean, they're in Angleton, so they're really down Gulf Coast. But the great thing is at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, they always put right on their website at LandZCars.com, they always have their newest specials, and they call them programs. So, for example, the Chevy Trax, which is a smaller kind of crossover vehicle, they've got 15% off MSRP cashback. They got $4,289 actual cashback. And then for current competitive owners, they get an additional $750 cash allowance on that track. On the Chevy Equinox, they have deals that are even better. And then if you move on to the Chevy Silverado pickup truck, they have unbelievably deep discounts on in terms of the rebates they're offering right now on the Chevy Silverado Texas Edition pickup truck. But get in there right now and take advantage of the offer. And when I say right now, go to the website, LandZCars.com. There's a chat function, and you can, and there's also the entire inventory, so you can find what you love. You can start a chat function. You can find out what they would offer you for your vehicle. And before you know it, you know, the car buying experience oftentimes takes just a single day. You may end up with a brand new Chevy Silverado Texas Edition pickup truck today, and they could end up delivering it to your office or your home today. That's how quickly this could happen. Make that little dream come true. Maybe you woke up and didn't think you'd get a truck, and boom, you got a brand new pickup truck. That can happen. LanceZCars.com. LanceZCars.com. It's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
Guys, this fall, as you get back into the swing of things, Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collections for guys. It's guaranteed to upgrade your life. Really cool stuff in here. Whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers, you've got cozy clothing and threads for when the temperature dips. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every single month. That's why it's called Bespoke. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, outdoor gear. Really, really awesome. Tell you what, I love the Weekender bag right now, which is part of the Box of Awesome. Or how about this one? The Layers is something that you can get with flannel shirt, and it's brushed flannel. They've got boot socks to match as well. This is your opportunity to get started. Take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick out the perfect box for you. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back, ESPN 97.5. Come on!
We got this one. Hey, remember when Boki Nachbar was getting meaningful minutes? Is that the equivalent of Reddick getting playoff at-bats? He stranded two more runners in the same time it took me to type this. No, he didn't strand two more runs. Although the game is at 12 today.
Yeah, noon.
So it's at noon on ESPN2.
Yeah. So
they will have swept potentially by 320.
It was a 1-1 game, and the game was 3.5 hours old. For whatever reason, baseball's taking so long. A 1-1 game going to the ninth, it was 3.5 hours old. I'm like, what the hell? This should be 2.5 hours. Why is it taking so long? And it's not like there's a bunch of visits to the mound and a bunch of pitching changes. You still got that rule. Now, you don't have the rule where you start with a runner on second. But a guy comes in, he's got to throw to three batters. So what is the deal? What is the deal with how long this is taking to play these games? But here, okay, so for those of you that you missed it, Fromber was the hero. Fromber was without a doubt the hero of the game. He was the star of the game, Fromber. And it got a little bit and Dusty was the second star of the game. In that first two guys come up, they get with two outs, two guys get on. And then Manny from Modern Family comes up to the plate and hits into a grounder.
What kind of disrespectful thing did you just say?
Well, I didn't know where he ended up, but he ended up with the Twins.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
He comes up, hits into the double play, and the Astros win.
Manny, why did you hit it to a double play?
Because he's a
glorious stuff.
Did he not look? I mean, when he got up, did you not go, oh, sweet. Got the fat kid up there. So today, Urquidy goes.
Yeah.
Do you go Taylor second and Javier to close,
or Javier? That's a starter. You go Taylor to close.
No, well, you only got three starters.
Well, no, but I'm saying you don't.
Well,
you don't
Javier could close.
Why?
Because he's got electric stuff.
Who? How many starters just come in and just close?
Blake Taylor's Garrett been doing Cole it last year in the World. Oh, that's right. AJ,
yeah,
that up.
It doesn't happen other than a
no. AJ, that up. That's what happened.
Yeah, but Garrett Cole is not Javier's not Cole.
No, I would trust Javier of all the guys
over Blake Taylor.
Listen, if you got to listen, here's why. Suppose there's a situation where there's because Urquidy's on the mound. They're going to be left-handed strong.
Takes longer to warm up for a starter.
I don't. Well, then warm him up longer. I don't know.
I mean, if we talk about a starter's got his rhythm with 5 days, we can't just ignore.
Well, it would take him longer to warm up to come in middle of relief, too. That's the same warm-up. It's the same thing.
But you get going. You get your pitches going. If you remember, you're usually the marathon. One guy's a marathoner. One guy's a sprinter. So it may take a little longer for a starter to find his stuff, get
in
his groove.
The longer you go in the game, he can warm up during the seventh.
How about Ryan
and eighth?
Presley? Because you can say
really,
there's no chance
I'm
that Javier
really about that
gets
right
in
now
a game to close over Ryan Presley. There's no
really
chance.
I'm not really all about that right
well,
now.
You don't have to be, but there's zero chance that Dusty Baker would go with a rookie starter to close one inning over Ryan Presley.
Yeah.
Ryan Presley is the closer.
Is he, though?
I mean, I don't.
Are you, though?
I think closer's a strong. I'm not sure it's an accurate phrase, but yeah, that's who it is.
Listen, if you've got to get Blake Taylor in there, let's say it's Kepler, Cruz, and Rosario. Okay, and I would rather have Blake Taylor against those because you got two lefties, and you just hope that you get Cruz with the lefty. That's what that to me it's a, and AJ always said this. Well, it depends on where they are in the order, and then I work on. No, you don't. You throw your seventh, eighth, and ninth inning guys. He didn't. That AJ did not do that. But if there's a situation in the sixth or seventh where it's Kepler, Cruz, and Rosario, then I might throw Blake Taylor there.
Yeah, I just know that. I mean, Javier is going to be used like Fromber is used, so. It would take somebody not, you know, it would take Urquidy. He could come into a game if you want to stay lefty. He could come into a game and you hold off on. I mean, as a matter of fact, he probably would.
Yeah.
He probably would because McCullers is probably being saved for your game three.
Yeah.
And so.
No, McCullers is game three starter.
Yeah. So, well, there you go then. Then it would probably be Javier would be first out if the game didn't get to the seventh. I still think there's a chance Dusty would go with what he did during the year, which would be. You know, a Blake Taylor, probably Paredes, Blake Taylor, and Ryan Presley.
Mm.
Well, it's not like you have a lot of great options in there.
Well, but this is a one game seven. This is game seven, more or less. Now it's game six for you. It's game seven for them.
2-1-1.
But you go for it and you do whatever.
Well, what does go for it mean?
You throw your best, and Javier's your best guy.
Well, no, but Javier is probably unless Urquidy goes really really deep, you could see Javier come in. Earlier,
yeah.
You could see Javier in the seven. I don't know if you will. I don't know if you will. You might say if things are going well and Urquidy goes deep, I don't think you'll
well,
see Fromber Javier.
Was a starter and Fromber came in and you know what? You just, he was a starter. Well, warm up then. You know what? Warm up. And if you have to bunt Josh Reddick. And if you have to warm up to get ready to go into the game like Fromber did yesterday and kicked ass, then you just do that, Javier. You go whenever we tell you.
I think
you're
saying a lot of things Dusty won't do and that James
Cliff
won't.
Well, he just did it yesterday with Fromber.
No, but Fromber has done that this year. Fromber went six earlier in the year. Fromber has been rock steady, and that was a long outing. We're not talking about a long outing. If it's a long outing, Christian Javier will come in. I almost have no doubt about it. If he goes 4 2/3, Javier comes in. If Urquidy goes six innings, then I don't know about the 7, 8, 9. I think it's more like Paredes, Blake Taylor, and Ryan Presley. I think he goes with a standard bullpen, and then he saves Javier for a potential double bubble with Lance McCullers if need be, because that wouldn't be a bad thing either to have him go.
Well, Javier had two relief appearances this year already. And I want to see the situation when he came in, get his game log. But there were two games that Javier has come in and he wasn't the starter. I think it was the Dodgers he came in. Let's see where he came in. Well, it was an 8-1 loss. But he has relieved this year. So, you know what? I don't care. You throw your best. And I think Javier is the best, next best option. So if he's got to come in middle relief, or you need Javier to come in and blow him away in the ninth inning, you just found a great closer in Javier. Congratulations, Dusty. You found your closer. Because do you really trust Presley to come in a one-run game?
I tell you, if Javier could warm up quick, and if he could, like, I have no problem. It's so unbaseball. It's almost not what even we're talking about. They'll go with a guy they know.
Do you know what's been unbaseball? The Astros closers this year. Other than Taylor.
We had Presley out for a year.
Presley sucked this year.
Presley sucked second half of last year. He hasn't been the same since he came back from his injury. I don't trust him. He's not sharp. His breaking pitch isn't sharp. He doesn't have a great fastball. I mean, look, I really wouldn't have a problem with if he could develop. If Christian Javier could develop into your closer, that'd be great. I remember when I thought Josh James was going to do it.
Javier came in against the Dodgers in the sixth inning. And the other relief appearance, that was a start. Early.
Well, he had a two-inning, one-hit, five-strikeout game on early September. That must have been the other one. Like on the 9th of September, he had a two-inning, one-strikeout.
That was the Dodgers.
That was against, yeah. So he did pretty good against a pretty good lineup.
Yeah, and then the other one, his other one was, yeah, he threw one inning in the seventh. One inning, one strikeout, one hit.
How long ago?
That was early in the year. But this one was September. The other one was September. So it's not like he can't do it. I mean, he's a rookie. Hey, Rook, you do what we tell you to do. That's all. You know what? I'm the boss of you. I'm Dusty Baker.
I don't think he's trying to fight you.
I'm your boss.
I don't think he's trying to fight you. You're just trying to boss Dusty Baker around, and Dusty Baker is
Dusty Baker is...
Same way A.J. Hinch wouldn't be bossed by you with George Springer out of the leadoff spot.
Listen, stand back, stand by. Okay?
Okay.
Javier.
Okay. All right.
Dell moved away from the mic. Why are you moving away from the mic?
I don't know, because I made that joke at like 7:05 and I feel like I've come to regret it because I've just opened up the floodgates. Now every time you got something, you're gonna go to that.
Well, you sent us the logo.
No, that was Raheel.
Raheel sent that?
Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't send the logo.
Somebody sent us the logo. Stand back, stand by.
Yeah, the Proud Boys have adopted that really quickly.
They did?
Yeah, that's theirs. Yeah, they put that out there almost immediately. You thought someone made that up? They made that.
They did. I thought Raheel did it.
No, he found that online because the Proud Boys were like, did he just give us the go-ahead?
He just said, stand back, stand by.
They said,
if we
hold
lose
up.
This election, stand back,
do you
stand
know,
by.
Do you know that I got in a rabbit hole of videos? It took up maybe 6 hours of my day, probably a week, 2 weeks ago, Proud Boys versus Antifa fights in Portland. It is literally like watching Gangs of New York. There's one. I'll show you a video where Proud Boys are fighting Antifa, and you hear drums in the background. And it's almost like...
Was there a flute? And that's a guy with a bandage around
him? Somebody walking with a dead rabbit on a stick? It's almost exactly like that. It's crazy. It's like watching Gangs of New York with masked Antifa, and they've got their bear spray and their umbrellas. And they've got these stick things. People who say there's not real Antifa don't see the YouTube videos. It's a legitimate gang fight.
Do any of them have razors in their hats?
No. Is this? Oh my god! This is my favorite. One of my favorite parts of the movie.
Yeah. All right, 8:29.
That's from the movie, isn't it?
ESPN 97.5. You know what my favorite part of moving is? Lance Loken. My favorite part of selling your home, Lance Loken. You know why? Because the Loken Group, L-O-K-E-N, the Loken Group at Keller Williams Platinum, these people are just awesome at this. There is story after story after story about getting more for your home than you. And that is ridiculous, people, because your initial offering of what you want for your house is going to be inflated. because, well, what the heck? Let's try to get this. Okay. And then the Loken Group does it, and it's like an auction. Not only do they get what you want, but there's time after time after time they get over list price, which is just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. 26 showings, 7 offers in 3 days, 5,000 over list price. And then just 7 days, 16 showings, 7 offers, 7% over list price. Those are ridiculous numbers. And if you don't want to do all of that, how about an immediate cash offer from Lance Loken? This is what he do every single day. You're going to achieve top dollar for your home if you go with the Loken Group. You're going with the best group, Keller Williams Platinum Group in the state of Texas, and second group, best group in the world. And I'm going to tell you what, they're going to surpass it. They're going to be the best group in the world. Listen, the process is crappy. You're going to hate the selling your home. The Loken Group just makes it so easy. If you're looking to sell or buy, all you have to do is call 281-861-4624. Now, the last time I talked to him, he said, we're looking for realtors too. So if you want to work for the best group in the world, there you go. 281-861-4624 or the Loken, L-O-K-E-N, thelokengroup.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Irby, today Gus said that y'all had probably the most talented overall team in the league. Do you think that's accurate? And how do you think that's assessed across the league when y'all look at other programs?
I think if you ask somebody the week of the game, the team they're playing will have the most talent in the league. And then next week, that team will have the most talent. And then the next week, that team will have the most talent. And that's called coach speak. So thanks, Gus. He has the most talent in the SEC himself.
.833 ESPN 97.5. Kirby Smart. Giving it to Gus Malzahn. And you know what? That is so true. What Lou Holtz used to always listen.
The University of Navy is a team that's a very difficult team. It's going to be tough for us to win against Navy. The University of Navy, very tough. They fight for the country. They're harder than we are. They're tougher. They're mentally strong. They're fast. They never stop. Four quarters of hell is what's going to be going up against North Dakota State. Grand Valley State's very underrated. One of the best Division II programs that I've seen. If we're not careful, we go in there and lose to Grand Valley State. That's a very tough game. It's a tough game against Northwest. Northwestern's got a lot of smart people. They can dial up a lot of really tough offenses, things like that. So I'm not sure how we're going to beat. We're sitting there looking at how are we going to beat Missouri State. They've got a quarterback that's dual threat. He's got long hair. This kid is very tough once he gets outside the pocket with the RPO, with the zone read. They're well coached.
None of that. none of that. But that. Who started coach speak?
I think Lou Holtz. That I remember was every week the joke was that Lou Holtz would say, I don't know how we're going to beat Maryland. I'll be honest with you. It's a very, very difficult team. They're sitting there at 1-2. They're angry. They need to win. They're tough. We're sitting there complacent. And Sean Pendergast's brother, Kevin, who used to play there, he would always say, like he would tell stories about Lou Holtz. Mm. He'd say, listen, guys, this team is better than you. University. And it would always be somebody like, you know, I'm just going to tell you now.
Rutgers.
When we just got done watching Temple. And Temple's an underrated team. They might be more talented than we are. We're probably going to go in there and get beat. The way you guys are practicing, the way that we're practicing, the way that they're playing on tape that I saw despite the score, we're probably going to get beat. You guys are going to get beat. That's a good team. And he'd say he'd do that. And then by game day, he would say, hey, everyone say we can't play. We can't win this game. Like, what? We can't beat Temple. We're literally 27.5-point favorites. And people are saying that. Like, you can't play. look at you over there, Derek Brooks, or whoever the running back was. I can't remember the running back, Brooks. Like, look at Bryant. Look at Dana Stubblefield. Look at Bryant Young, BY. This guy can squat 650 pounds. We can't beat Temple? I don't believe it. And he somehow will turn that into like bulletin. He would give them bulletin board material. Hey, people out there saying you can't beat Temple. Hey, people are saying this. Well, you said that on Tuesday.
No, that was you.
That was you. You're literally the only person that said that.
So, yeah, like I don't remember Bear Bryant or I guess there wasn't nearly that much media though involved in pre-games. You know, not like now.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel bad for these guys. Did you all feel bad for Bill O'Brien after the game?
Yeah, I really did.
He had that pouty face on. He really had a pouty
face. Yeah, I really felt bad. Yeah. I felt bad for, I mean, hopefully they give him a chance here to really do his thing.
Well, that's not it.
He's had such a small sample size.
Well, they did give him.
Although he has one, you know, the fact that I have to really be careful about the fact that I think he's so terrible as a general manager. I don't want it to leak into the coaching side. But it's hard when you did it. I mean, you ordered the combo meal.
Well, no. Now this is squarely. This is the whole thing is on him, though. Okay, are you surprised that you can't coach up guys that are good? They're good players, and when you got rid of all the great players,
I was listening.
Are you
to you
a little
guys,
surprised that you can't win games?
I was listening to you and Dale yesterday on 92.5, which by the way sounded great yesterday. Really, really crystal clear around here. You were talking about all the elite players, and it's true. The elite talent that he has lost or actually moved away from, he's moved away. He's given extension. Well, Laramie is elite. Deshaun is good right now, and, you know, hopefully. But it doesn't matter. There's just a different tax bracket for quarterbacks. Right, is what it is. But, yeah, he hasn't, like.
Is Laramie
there
elite?
Have been. Yeah, I think Laramie would be considered an elite left tackle in the league.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do believe so.
Okay. All right.
I do believe so. He's tough to get around.
Okay.
Now.
If you could draft all the left tackles in the NFL,
I'd have to study it. I don't study it as closely as I did, but Laramie would be in my top three 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really good. Laramie had my top draft grade coming out of that draft class. I was a big fan of Laramie Tunsil, and I am to this day. Laramie, you know, I have to put away the trade. The value, but Laramie Tunsil as a player, I think, is really, really talented. He moves his feet. He doesn't have to do a kick slide. He can do basically a basketball shuffle to get out on speed. Dell, he started as a guard while they had Eugene Monroe out there.
No, it was Brandon Albert.
Brandon Albert, that's who it was. Yeah, so he started as a guard. Just because they were waiting for Brandon Albert to go away. Then he went out to tackle. I think he was kind of average his first year at tackle, which would be his second year in the league. But then he was really good by his third year in the league. And that's when the Texans went and paid for him for his fourth year. I believe, right? Or did we get him? Is this a fifth year for Laramie?
I'm trying to think.
Oh, yeah. He was at the 16 draft in Chicago. So it was 16, 17, 18, 19. This is the fifth year.
Yes.
20. Yeah, because he could have walked this year with all those draft picks because you let him. You had no leverage because you didn't get a deal done in advance. So he got to bully you into getting literally everything he asked for, $22 million. I talked to an agent yesterday, and I said, I bet you hope – it was about something separate. But I said, I bet you hope you get a player on the Texans. He goes, oh, my God. He said, I pray every day that I somehow have a player that lands on the Texans. He said, because – he said their last three deals have just been terrible from the team standpoint. And he said, if I get my crack at them, I'm going to go for way more than I would ask with any other team. He said, because I might get it. And that's where they are. He said, from a team standpoint, man, they are not doing a very good job of taking care of their money. He goes, if they want to pay me a lot of money, I'll come negotiate for them. I said, you're not going to go negotiate for
McTaggart, 33 minutes ago. Jose Urquidy will start for Astros today. So that's official.
I hit another prediction.
Yep.
You're welcome.
What?
Yep.
No, you said
no one was saying that.
Colors
no
today.
One was saying it could be Urquidy. I was the only one saying that.
Okay. Feels like you don't remember what people are saying.
Yeah. It kind of feels that way. You.
I was the only one who said it. And then today I had 4-1 instead. Yesterday I had 3-2. Today I'll flip it. I'll go 3-2 today, and the Astros will win. I still believe George Springer is going to get a home run. In one of these games, we're going to get what Milo used to call a Springer dinger.
Did he?
Yep.
Was that one?
That's another
springy dingy, he called it.
No. Didn't Milo make up Springer dinger? Is that something that, like, that the radio guys, Robert Ford, said? I think that sounds like a Milo thing. That's a Springer. No. Uh-huh. How long has Milo been? No, it couldn't have been Milo. Milo's been out of the game since. Well, I mean, he's not alive now, but. Well, I mean, no, when I say out of the game.
I'm not laughing at you. Oh. I'm laughing at the Urban Dictionary definition of a Springer dinger.
There's an Urban Dictionary?
Yes.
What is it, Del?
A home run. Do I read this? Because there are multiple, but the one involving the Astros, a sexual act between male Astro fans in which two or more male fans celebrated George Springer home run.
No, that's not what a Springer dinger is.
By pulling out their genitals.
No, that's not what it is. Del, edit that out.
And start sword fighting each other.
Del, do a thumbs down. Springer do a dinger. Thumbs down on that one, Del.
It's on there.
Do a thumbs down.
That is
downvote
no way.
It. I'm reading
that's
it. Downvote
Astro fans celebrate.
I have never
George
done that. I have never done let that me, with a friend.
Okay, let me clarify to make sure this is correct. Once again. A sexual act between male Astro fans.
You're just rereading it.
Which, yeah, so I'm clarifying. In which two or more male fans celebrate a George Springer home run by pulling out their genitals and start sword fighting each other while yelling, Springer Dinger!
It's just terrible. No one does that.
I've never seen
no
anyone.
No one does that.
There are other...
Do you know how many homers George Springer hits?
Must be. By the
way, Milo's, sword fight
Milo's last year is 2012. I mean, Milo's last year is 2012, so
wasn't
we know Springer wasn't up by then,
a Twitter
so it couldn't be him.
It's probably a Twitter thing. There are other definitions.
No.
Now, the
not
top,
if they're like that
the
one.
Top definition is a home run hit by Major League Baseball center fielder and World Series MVP George Springer.
Thumbs up.
But there's also one. Springer Dinger is an Australian man who jumps out from the brush to sexually assault a kangaroo. It's on there.
Urban Dictionary is not where you should go.
This is not where you go. Go to
where?
Webster's.
Where are you going to find it?
Webster's.
It's not in Webster's.
It's probably not in Webster's.
Okay, that's not where we go
it's
to find
it's on
out
a
what
t-shirt.
Things really mean.
It's where I go.
No, it's where you go because you find stuff like that.
Springer Dinger's not going to be in Webster's.
844 ESPN 97.5 Biscuit. Underrated mess. You guys are next right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, Texas Star Grill Shop, TexasStarGrillShop.com. Three locations right now, but Rick and Michelle are going to have another one coming up. As a matter of fact, next month, it is unbelievable what these guys have done with this business from the one store at Shepherd and 59 to that one has doubled or quadrupled. And then they've opened up a store in Spring. They've opened up a store in Katy, and now they're opening up another one next month. And it is just fantastic. The deals that you get right now. I was in there this weekend, and I picked my grill. I'm going to go pick it up. You'll see mine. It's sold. Okay, the one on Shepherd and 59. It's sold. You can't have it because I bought that DCS. It's the 36 inch. It's beautiful, and the knowledge that those people have is second to none. The selection that you have is second to none. Everything about it, all of the pellets and wood chips and all of the rubs and everything else that you and the accessories for the grills, second to none. But the fall sale is going on right now, so you're going to find sales on all of the grills. Get to Texas Star Grill Shop and find out for yourself. Go to TexasStarGrillShop.com. Find the location nearest you. You're looking for a grill, no question, TexasStarGrillShop.com.
More talk, less commercials. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
We are here for you. La, 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 la.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, which, as Lance mentioned, sounded crystal clear yesterday. If you're listening, we don't have the Astros on today. It's not an ESPN game. So we do have the NBA Finals on tonight, though. So if you're looking, if you're driving around and you you can't watch the game, you can listen to it right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Biscuit wants to talk about those NBA Finals. What do you say, Biscuit?
Hey, top of the morning to you, fellas.
Back at you.
Yeah. Hey, man. Lance, John, Adele. Man, we got to enjoy this, man. This dude here, Mr. James, when he leaves the scene, it's going to be a while before we see somebody with this caliber of talent and skill set. And to be in his 17th year and pinning stuff on the square and the backboard and flushing on people, and man, it's a sight to behold as a basketball, you know, purist and somebody who follows basketball for a long time. I'm telling you right now, Jordan and Kobe, they were shooting fadeaway jumpers late in their career. They wasn't flushing on people and going coast to coast. And man, I think I talked to one of my buddies, man. If this dude is able to pull off two more rings, he's in the conversation with Jordan. If he's able to do it. Because his numbers is going to be, you know, far as assists and scoring, he probably finished top five in both assists and scoring all time. So if he's able to win two more rings, he may pass up Mr. Jordan.
Here's the thing. I don't think he'll, much like the presidential campaign, I think your vote has already been cast and you know who you have, regardless of anything that's said or happens. And I think it's always a mental thing where people just see the will of Jordan, and that's just going to win out. I know that's how it is for me. But I'll admit, I was thinking about this when LeBron got to the finals, Western Conference, not the finals, but to the NBA Finals again. You know, what he does with this many years in the league is really, I mean, it's really astonishing. At this stage of his career that Biscuit talked about, you go look at somebody who is, what is this, year 17? He came in, 2003? Is this year 17? This is pretty unprecedented to be playing at this level. And I'm talking about MVP caliber level. Even if you don't want an MVP, he's up there in that level. To do this many years in and to be as big and physical, we always knew he was a physical freak. From the time he was in high school, you know, he got into the league, he already had grown man body. But his ability to hold up, to be durable, to withstand all that, to play at a high level, to play attacking basketball instead of fading basketball, he is Shaq of the he was Shaq of the small forwards. Now he's more Shaq of a hybrid power forward, a kind of a 3-4. He's kind of like Shaq, but a healthy Shaq, where he physically is just too much for people around him.
Is he like Malone, Karl Malone at the end? I mean, still strong enough. And I mean, Malone was still able to overpower people. And LeBron is, at this age, to be as physical as he is.
But you know, Karl Malone was a lot of elbow jumpers, because John Stockton would set him up with high screen and rolls. And Carl was not really a physical take it to you in the post. He had some fadeaways. He would face up on you. LeBron, and Carl Malone was a little tighter as an athlete later in his career. LeBron is still rare.
I mean, you can't compare LeBron to Shaq either. You're comparing him to Shaq, and it's two totally different
games. He's still a very rare physical specimen.
Well, right. I mean, at that age, but Malone was still doing it at that age as well.
LeBron is the greatest physical specimen in the history of basketball. The only other guy is Wilt, probably. And Wilt, because no one around him was like Wilt. Nobody. Wilt, to this day, his strength, his speed, his like, Wilt is not given the credit. You got to go back and watch documentaries about Wilt, and then you're like, holy crap, I had no idea that he was a high jumper and a 400-meter guy and a volleyball player. And the strength of Wilt, the whatever it was, the 100-pound curls he was doing.
Wilt was done, though, at the age of 36.
But Wilt also played college basketball. LeBron didn't play college basketball. If you threw all those as pro years.
No, but he still only lasted 36.
Right, how old is Jordan?
How old was Jordan when he did, when he finished?
How old is Jordan now? I mean, not Jordan. I'm sorry. How old is LeBron right now?
LeBron is 38, isn't he?
No, he's not that old. Dell, is he 36?
He'll be 36 in December. He's 35 years old.
He's only 35 now. Okay.
LeBron is great.
But he's still going.
Yeah, LeBron is great, but I hope in a week and a half he's crying because there's black and red confetti in his eye.
Wow.
That's what I'm looking for.
I think it is possible we've already talked about it. I think it's definitely possible your Heat could beat them. I think this is a somewhat even matchup. If you just go by how the Heat have played, who the Heat have played, and then how the Lakers have played. Look, the Lakers played very good.
But if you want to know the truth, Wilt wasn't. I mean, he was averaging 13 and 14 points. Dude, at the beginning of his career, he averaged 51 year.
Yeah.
I mean, by...
Nobody lasts this long at this level.
By the age of 29, he had his last 33-point year. His last 30-point year.
Right, right. His numbers are...
So LeBron is even more of a specimen.
There's nobody who is doing this at this age. You're not going to find anybody. You won't find Jordan. You won't find anybody in basketball history who is doing this at this age. There's nobody. There's nobody you can find. And there's nobody you can find who has played at this level for this long. It's, you talked about Wilt doing it, and Wilt had that long a run. Dream had a good run. Dream had a very good run. He was a three-year college guy, but even if you take their college age, so you just take total age and you use the college age stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just take total age, there's nobody who plays at this level at this age.
At 34, Michael won his last title, and he averaged 29 a game.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
LeBron's about to be 36.
Yeah. Well, and then Mike retired, but yeah. I mean, he was still at the top of his game at 34.
I wouldn't say top, but he had learned to... he wasn't the best Jordan we've ever seen, just like Dream probably wasn't
the
best Dream.
Still led the league in scoring.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No. I mean, he was... But that's also the greatest player of all time.
Yeah. Well, it's 1A right now.
And LeBron, and as Biss was talking about,
the question is, the fadeaways, if he wins two more, LeBron wins two more, is he 1 and Jordan's 1A?
So you had, let's take what Biscuit said. So Jordan had become a fadeaway guy, which was smart. Like, Jordan readjusted his game. He wasn't flying around, tongue out, dunking on everybody. Jordan was a great mid-range shooter. Had that pull-up jumper that he could drive to left or right, pull up right there at the elbow, and pop that pull-up jumper. He got better at shooting threes. He was fantastic from the post in Tex Winter's offense. I don't think LeBron has changed his game at all. He'll drive to the rim.
Well, now that
he'll dunk
said,
on you.
That all said, he still only shot 1.5 a game, and he averaged 29 points. So he was still going to the hole. He was still scoring.
He wasn't dunking on people like this.
Well, he was still dunking on people. He was Michael Jordan.
Not be like Mike.
No, but he was still dunking on people. I mean, LeBron ain't the same as he was 10 years ago either.
LeBron's pretty close. I mean, he's pretty. That's the thing that's weird is he's going in with vicious, ferocious dunks still. Nobody can be the same when they're 35, 36. I mean, that's just not possible. But LeBron plays a physical, athletic brand of basketball that really doesn't. If it's changed, it's changed so slowly it's almost not noticeable. Jordan's the greatest to me. It's not. It's never going to change for me. But what LeBron does is unheard of in this sport. In football, we see it with quarterbacks. But for a physical guy and an athletic player to still be able to play physically and athletically at this age and not break down, I've never seen it. You know, Jordan had a break physically where he got to take a year and a half break also where he didn't have the wear and tear on his body other than that very difficult baseball wear and tear. Yeah.
Well, LeBron took a break last year.
How many games? I mean, Jordan was durable. From what I remember, Jordan was incredibly durable as well.
Yeah, second year in the league.
Well, broken foot, though.
Right, yeah. Right. But LeBron pretty much took the last year off. So, you know, he's rejuvenated. He's got a better team. He's back in the finals again. It's amazing. This is the Tom Brady run. Or even better than the Tom Brady run. What the number of finals that LeBron is in?
He is 1-8 in game ones. Would that make you want to bet on the side of the Heat? 1-8 in game ones for LeBron.
In his career?
In finals, game ones.
And then you look at this year, Portland and Houston both got him.
Mm-hmm.
Heat tonight?
And the only win that he's had was against the Mavs in 2011. And then the next night, they blew – or not the next night. The next game, they blew like a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, and that sent that series in a different direction. He eventually went to lose, and he played terribly in that series. If you're looking for – if you don't think the Lakers are sweeping and you think it's a 5- or 6-game series, this is the one you bet – history says this is the one you bet the Heat. They've been really good in game ones in these playoffs. Mm-hmm. The Lakers have not been outside of the win over the Nuggets when the Nuggets are coming off their second 7-game series in a row.
What do you think the line is?
I think I've seen it at like 4.5 or 4. Right?
4.5.
Yeah.
But here's what you bet, +165. They take the Heat to win the game straight up, +165. And you do that at mybookie.ag, promo code radio. See, I'm doing it right now, as a matter of fact. I'm just putting it in. Here it is. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio. And if you're looking for the best way to play, win, and get paid, mybookie.ag, promo code radio. It is, I've got +165 right now. I got your Heat, Dell. How's that taste? I got the Heat, and I've got it at +165.
How does it taste, Dell?
Yeah. So if you're looking for the best way to play and win, and you, while you're watching the game, the Heat go way down, well, you bet the Heat, and you get great odds. They come back, win, bing, 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 bing. It's all at mybookie.ag, promo code radio. They got everything you could possibly want to bet on. When you make your initial deposit, they will double it, and they will you'll have that much more to play with. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
ESPN 97.5.